Okay, this is Father John. Today we're going to continue on the discussion of Ezekiel. And some of you asked me yesterday where I got that. So if you look, if you have the Holy Week and Pascha book from Holy Transfiguration Monastery, or you have a copy of the Triodion, you'll notice that in the service of the third and sixth hours, there are Old Testament readings appointed. And so if you look at yesterday's, you'll find the one from Ezekiel I had read. And then today, I want to talk a bit about Ezekiel, actually. And part of the reason I'm doing that is, as I say, the meaning of the gospel readings are often more apparent. So I thought it might be helpful to go to these more these readings with a more difficult sense behind them sometimes. So today we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 3 through chapter 3, verse 3. But we're actually not going to look at the whole thing. So what I would want you to do is, I'll go ahead and read the section from the King James. And then I will reread certain sections with some commentary that you might find helpful. And I hope you do. So let's go to Ezekiel first. As I say, so if you're looking on at home, I'm starting at Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 3. So let's get there. Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So there we see, he says, Ezekiel, "And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious, like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth, and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." All right, so notice what he says in verses 8 to 10. "But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee, be not thou rebellious." And here we see the need for humility, which is, we are in such a great need of, actually. We're so absorbed with our pride. And I'm not accusing anybody in particular, myself, well, I'm actually accusing everybody equally, myself included. We're so absorbed in our pride that we don't even see it. And we don't see our rebelliousness. So here the prophet enjoins us not to be rebellious, as the Jews of old were rebellious against the prophets, and the world generally was rebellious against the prophets. He goes on, "Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I behold, when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe." Notice he says, "Open thy mouth." And here, You might find it very helpful. There's a book that is published by the Center for Traditional Orthodox Studies in Aetna. And I'm not sure if it's in print anymore, but it's the Homilies of St. Gregory the Great on the book of the prophet Ezekiel. I strongly recommend it because Ezekiel, as I said earlier, or yesterday rather, is a text that a lot of people struggle with. And there we read from St. Gregory. He says, "We open our mouths when we speak aright, and we eat when we receive from God, because the food of life is bestowed and increases within our senses when we begin to preach." Thus, another prophet, that is David, that St. Gregory is referring to, says, "I opened my mouth and drew in breath. So here we have to understand that we have this embarrassment of riches in the faith, in the church, but we don't make use of it. So God says to the prophet, "Open thy mouth." That is to choose to turn to the word of God, and he will then give abundantly. Okay, so again, let's look closely at chapter 2, verse 10, going on with the same passage. And he says, "And he spread it, the book, before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe." Now here, let's turn to the commentary on St. Gregory, and then discuss that a bit. So St. Gregory says on verse 10, he says, "Of this book it is also added, and it was written within and without. For the book of Holy Writ," this is St. Gregory reading, "is written within by allegory and without by history, written through spiritual understanding, but without through the plain sense of the letter, still befitting the weak. Within because it promises invisible things, without because it arranges the visible by the rightness of its statutes." Okay, so first we need to understand how St. Gregory means the terms allegory and history, because by allegory, we should not think that St. Gregory means that the biblical text is just a group of symbols. Rather, he refers to the deeper moral and mystical significance of the biblical text that's embedded in the sacred history. And here we should call to mind Father George Florovsky talking about the sacred history presented in the scriptures. He says that God meets man in history, or rather God met man in history. And this is precisely what St. Gregory is talking about. So when he says the word allegory, he doesn't mean that it's just a bunch of symbolism. It's not a myth. It's as we stressed in yesterday's post, it's something that really took place in time, literally, but that there is a deeper moral and mystical meaning or set of meanings in the text, and that we need to look within and without, both at the historical meaning, that is without, and as Prophet Ezekiel, as it says in the book of Ezekiel, look deeper within. Okay, so then related to that, consider the last phrase. "And there was written," and that is in the book before the prophet Ezekiel, "lamentations and mourning and woe." And in relation to this, recall what St. Paul says in his first epistle to the Corinthians. "I judge not myself to know anything among you, but Jesus Christ and him crucified." So when we think of woe, as it's discussed in the book of Ezekiel, in this passage, we should understand that our woes and the crucifixion are connected. And moreover, they're connected in our lives, and they're connected with the understanding of the scriptures. Because in order to get from the superficial meaning of the text to the deeper meaning of the text, we have to change within. But for us to change within, we have to receive correction from God. And so God allows us to have various sufferings, various difficulties in life, which is effectively our cross, so that by those sufferings we might be humbled, and through being humbled we might then understand more deeply the scripture and understand more deeply the crucifixion and resurrection of our Savior. All right, so to sum up for today, this reading from Ezekiel should help us to see the following. 1, the need for humility. 2, the need for us to open our mouths so we may receive, that is to choose to strive after the life in Christ. 3, we need to study the Bible with the assistance of the Holy Fathers. It's essential for us as Orthodox Christians to come to the Scriptures again and again, but at the same time recalling what St. Peter says in his epistle, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. So on one hand, we want the Scriptures, and on the other hand, we want the writings of the Holy Fathers. Then four, we need to look deeply to the various senses of the sacred text. Okay, now this may still leave us with a question, which we'll seek to hopefully answer in the next several days. How does this all tie in with Holy Week? And so I could go on, but I'm going to stop there, and I'll be back with more tomorrow. And we're going to look at some more things from the Scripture, and we're also going to look at some things from over the next couple of days from the services, the hymns of the Church in Holy Week and Pascha, as a way to get at that question. God bless all of you, and we'll be back in touch tomorrow, God willing. Take care.